Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
I'm Marcela Sanchez with an AP News Minute. Australian federal police say the mass shooting on Sydney's Bondi Beach was inspired by the Islamic State. 15 people were killed while attending a Hanukkah celebration. Among the victims were a 10-year-old girl, an 87-year-old grandfather who survived the Holocaust, and a 62-year-old father who was killed while trying to stop one of the shooters, according to his daughter. The suspects were a father and son. The father was killed, and his son was hospitalized. Speaking to reporters, the Israeli ambassador to Australia, Amir Maimon, calls for better education to protect Australia's Jewish community.
I don't know when was the last time that you visit a temple, a church, or a mosque. The doors are open. Only the Australians of Jewish faith are forced to worship their gods behind closed doors, CCTV guards. It's insane.
A judge disbarred Hunter Biden in Connecticut for violating the state's attorney conduct rules. The decision came after complaints were made about the federal gun and tax charges Biden was convicted of before being pardoned last year by his father, former President Joe Biden. In an agreement with the state office that disciplines lawyers, Hunter Biden consented to being disbarred and admitted to attorney misconduct, but did not admit to any criminal wrongdoing. The son of actor-director Rob Reiner was arrested in Los Angeles on suspicion of murder. Reiner and his wife Michelle were both found dead on Sunday. Prosecutors are set to decide whether and how to charge 32-year-old Nick Reiner, who is being held in jail without bail.
32-year-old Nick Reiner, the son of actor-director Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle Singer, was taken into custody Monday, a day after the couple were found stabbed to death in their Los Angeles home, according to L.A. Police Chief Jim McDonald.
We have our robbery homicide division handling the investigation. They worked throughout the night on this case and were able to take into custody Nick Reiner, a suspect in this case. He was subsequently booked for murder and is being held on $4 million bail.
Nick was public about his addiction struggles. By 18, he was in and out of rehab and spent time on the streets. His relationship with drugs and his father was the basis for Reiner's film, Being Charlie.
Dad, I'm not going to listen to you tell me what a drug addict I am.
Reiner and his wife had three children together. The 78-year-old shot to fame on All in the Family, then directed classics like A Few Good Men and When Harry Met Sally. His 68-year-old wife, Michelle, was an actress, producer, and photographer. I'm Julie Walker.
The U.S. military says it attacked three boats accused of smuggling drugs in the Eastern Pacific, killing eight people. A military statement said the strikes targeted designated terrorist organizations.
U.S. forces have attacked three boats in the Eastern Pacific Ocean that the U.S. military claims were smuggling drugs. In a statement on social media, the military says the strikes targeted designated terrorist organizations and killed a total of eight people. It did not provide evidence of the alleged drug trafficking, but posted a video of a boat moving through water before exploding. The Trump administration's campaign has killed at least 95 people in 25 known strikes since early September. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and Secretary of State Marco Rubio are expected to provide closed-door briefings on the campaign today for all members of Congress. Ben Thomas, Washington.
This is AP News.
The American Express corporate program is more than a card. It's a complete solution. Apply for the right card for your employees, from everyday spenders to frequent travelers. Issue virtual cards to suppliers or project teams for added security and flexibility. Simplify accounts payable with American Express 1AP, helping your company automate supplier payments. The American corporate card program grows with you. Terms apply. Enrollment required and fees may apply, including an auto-renewing monthly platform access fee. Suppliers must be enrolled and located in the United States.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
AP correspondent Ben Thomas reports President Trump's latest media target is a British broadcaster.
President Trump's filed a lawsuit against the BBC. He's seeking $10 billion in damages. The 33-page document accuses the British broadcaster of airing a false, defamatory, deceptive, disparaging, inflammatory, and malicious depiction of President Trump. It issues an hour-long documentary that pulled together comments from two sections of Trump's speech to supporters on January 6, 2021, before the storming of the U.S. Capitol. The remarks were delivered almost an hour apart, but appear to be one quote in the report, in which Trump urged supporters to march with him and fight like hell. Cut out was a section where Trump said he wanted supporters to demonstrate peacefully. It aired days before the 2024 presidential election, and Trump's lawsuit claims it was a brazen attempt to interfere. Ben Thomas, Washington.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
The Trump administration's responded to a lawsuit filed by the National Trust for Historic Preservation, seeking to halt construction of the president's White House ballroom until it goes through independent reviews, a public comment period, and wins approval from Congress. The administration's 36-page response says the work must continue for national security reasons. It includes a declaration from the Secret Service that the work's needed to meet the agency's safety and security requirements, though it did not explain the specific national security concerns. The now-demolished east wing of the White House had sat atop an emergency operations bunker for the president. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Britain's MI6 spy chief says President Vladimir Putin is stalling Russia's efforts to end the war in Ukraine. The warnings from Blaise Metrouelli come as negotiations intensify to try to end the Ukraine war.
Alongside the grinding war, Russia is testing us in the gray zone with tactics that are just below the threshold of war.
This was Metrouelli's first public speech since becoming chief of Britain's Foreign Intelligence Agency 2 months ago.
We are now operating in a space between peace and war.
Metrouelli says the line is getting closer.
We all continue to face the menace of an aggressive, expansionist, and revisionist Russia seeking to subjugate Ukraine and harass NATO.
Metrouelli accused Moscow of sponsoring cyber attacks. She says the export of chaos is a feature, not a bug, in this Russian approach to international engagement. I'm Ed Donahue.
The U.S. is touting progress in talks aimed at ending Russia's war in Ukraine. Officials say during talks in Berlin, Trump administration envoys agreed to provide Ukraine unspecified security guarantees, which Kyiv has been demanding. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz calls it a big step. Volodymyr Zelensky says the talks were substantial. There are still differences on Moscow's demands that Ukraine cede territory. At the White House,
I think we're closer now than we have been ever.
President Trump dialed into a meeting of negotiators and European leaders. More talks are expected this weekend in Miami or elsewhere in the U.S. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Nativity scenes at some churches in the Chicago area and elsewhere are sparking fierce debates this year. The Reverend Michael Wolf, senior minister of Lake Street Church in Evanston, Illinois, says that their church's baby Jesus lies in the manger with zip-tied wrists, wrapped in a silver emergency blanket similar to blankets given to ICE detainees.
which tries to really take the Nativity story, the story of the Holy Family and Jesus' birth, and put it into present-day context.
The Reverend Jillian Westerfield says that their church wanted to reflect the sort of reality that their community is experiencing.
I think either they don't fully understand the message, or maybe they find it really challenging to their conscience.
While supporters say the Bible is on their side, critics call the displays political and sacrilegious, demanding that the displays be removed and that the clergy be punished. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
U.S. officials say Russia has indicated it's open to Ukraine joining the European Union as part of a potential peace deal. The officials say talks in Berlin between President Trump's envoys have led to consensus on about 90% of the Trump administration peace proposal, with narrowing differences on security guarantees and Russian demands that Ukraine concede land. Could there be a deal soon with Vladimir Putin? Britain's new foreign intelligence chief doesn't think so.
He is dragging out negotiations.
But in Moscow, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov says Putin is open to peace, but will not try to predict a timeline for a deal.
President Trump is blaming Rob Reiner's political leanings for the director's killing. It was a shocking attack, even by the president's standards. On social media and without evidence, he blamed Reiner's outspoken opposition of him for the murder. Even conservatives and his own backers criticized the post. But hours later,
he was a deranged person as far as Trump is concerned.
The president doubled down in the Oval Office.
So I was not a fan of Rob Reiner at all in any way, shape, or form. I thought he was very bad for our country.
He did not mention his personal connection to Reiner's wife, who was also killed. Michelle Singer was a photographer who shot the cover image of the future president's 1987 book, The Art of the Deal. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The Food and Drug Administration has okayed a libido-boosting pill for women who have gone through menopause. U.S. health officials have expanded approval for a drug that boosts libido in women who report stress due to low sex drive. The Sprout Pharmaceuticals drug, Addy, is now approved for women older than 65 who have gone through menopause. Previously, the once-a-day pill was only for premenopausal women. The drug has not been a big seller, despite its status as the first drug approved for a sexual disorder in women. Warnings on the drug alert doctors and patients that drinking alcohol in combination with it can cause fainting and low blood pressure. The two Iowa National Guard members killed in a weekend attack that the U.S. military blamed on the Islamic State group in Syria have been identified. The U.S. Army named them as 25-year-old Sergeant Edgar Brian Torres Tovar and 29-year-old Sergeant William Nathaniel Howard. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds ordered all flags in Iowa to fly at half-staff in their honor. A civilian working as a U.S. interpreter was also killed in the attack, and three other Iowa National Guard members were wounded. A Syrian official says the assailant has joined Syria's internal security forces as a base security guard 2 months ago and recently was reassigned amid suspicions that he might be affiliated with the Islamic State. The gunman was killed. Hiya Pinjwani, Washington.
New York Attorney General Letitia James has filed a lawsuit accusing UPS of stealing tens of millions of dollars in pay from seasonal workers who helped deliver packages during the busy holiday season. The lawsuit alleges that the shipping giant forced some workers to clock in well after their shifts began and deducted pay for lunch breaks they never took. The suit also alleges UPS repeatedly failed to properly compensate drivers' helpers, as well as seasonal support drivers who use their own vehicles to make deliveries. UPS issued a statement saying that it was aware of the lawsuit and says that the allegation of intentionally underpaying workers was unfounded. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Crews are using sandbags to shore up an earthen levee south of Seattle after a small section of it failed. An evacuation order is in place covering three Seattle suburbs.
This is just one small event within a larger disaster that is still unfolding across the Pacific Northwest.
Reed Walcott at the National Weather Service says weeks of heavy rain have taken a toll on the region, and now you add strong winds.
We deal with that all the time, but our soils are not normally this saturated. We have a very high risk of trees coming down onto vehicles, onto houses.
Audio from Como TV. Water levels receded in Jeff and Ann Goss's neighborhood for the moment.
When we see it come over the rain, you know, the train tracks over here on Highway 20,
it was like a waterfall.
It's a waterfall. And so if that gets back up there again before it's receded enough, we could be right back in the same position.
The levee was badly damaged during flooding in 2020. I'm Ed Donahue.
The FBI says they broke up a terror plot to bomb unnamed companies in California, described only as Amazon-type logistical centers on New Year's Day. The Bureau's Akil Davis.
The subject arrested envisioned planting backpacks with improvised explosive devices to be detonated at multiple locations in Southern California, targeting U.S. companies. These bombs were to blow up at the same time on midnight this New Year's Eve.
U.S. Attorney Bill Asaley says four people are under arrest from the Turtle Island Liberation Front, a far-left anti-government group.
The individuals were arrested on Friday, December 12th, when the group attempted to construct and detonate IEDs out in the desert.
Officials say they were also going to target ICE. Audio courtesy KABC. I'm Julie Walker.
After releasing an initial suspect in the Brown University shooting over the weekend, authorities have now released three new videos of the man they believe carried out the attack. In the videos, which were shot about 2 hours before the shooting, the man was wearing a mask and a two-tone jacket. Although his face is not visible, the videos provide the clearest images yet of the suspect. Providence Police Chief Colonel Oscar Perez.
Again, we're asking for the public assistance in identifying this individual that we're about to show you, and we'll release this video on Twitter.
A lack of security cameras in the area of the shooting is hampering investigators' efforts, and they are appealing to the public to come forward with any security camera videos that the public may have.
To make sure that we identify this individual and bring him to justice.
Brian Walsh has been found guilty of first-degree murder after pleading guilty last month to lesser charges of misleading the police and illegally disposing of his wife, Anna Walsh's, body.
Guilty.
Guilty of what, sir?
Murder in the first degree.
Murder in the first degree. So say you, Mr. Foreperson.
I do.
Anna Walsh was last seen early January 1st, 2023, after a New Year's Eve dinner at the couple's Massachusetts home. Prosecutors relied on online searches Walsh made about dismemberment and disposing of a body. Walsh's defense team argued that he found his wife dead in bed and panicked. Walsh initially told investigators that his wife had traveled to Washington, D.C. on a work emergency. Prosecutors say that Brian Walsh was listed as the beneficiary on Anna Walsh's $2.7 million life insurance policy. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Wall Street drifted through a quiet day of trading ahead of economic reports this week that could help determine where interest rates go next. The S&P 500 slipped 0.2% Monday. The index was weighed down by drops in some heavyweight tech companies, including Broadcom and Apple. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dipped 41 points. That's about 0.1%. The Nasdaq Composite fell 0.6%. Roomba maker iRobot plunged almost 73% after seeking Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Treasury yields inched lower in the bond market. Delayed reports on the job market and inflation are due out later this week. Seth Soutell, New York.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolball. Aaron Rodgers tossed two touchdowns to help the 8-6 Steelers remain atop the AFC North after a 28-15 win over the Dolphins.
Winning your AFC games are really important.
The Commanders are shutting down quarterback Jaden Daniels for the rest of the season. 44-year-old QB Phillip Rivers will again start for the Colts Monday against the 49ers. Fernando Mendoza and Caleb Downs headline the AP All-America team. Former Cal, Illinois, and Raiders coach Mike White has died at age 89. NBA, Cade Cunningham's 32 points led the Pistons past the Celtics 112-105. NHL, Blackhawks star Connor Bedard will miss at least 2 weeks with an upper body injury. 41-year-old Lindsey Vonn is likely to push back her retirement from skiing. And Scottie Scheffler and Aryna Sabalenka are the PGA Tour and WTA Players of the Year, respectively. Scottie Scheffler is the PGA Tour Player of the Year for the fourth consecutive time. Tiger Woods is the only other player to win the Jack Nicklaus Award at least four straight times since it began in 1990. Woods won it five times in a row and 11 overall. Scheffler was the clear favorite in a vote of the players. Along with his six victories being twice as many as anyone else's, he won two majors at the PGA Championship and British Open. Most remarkable was that Scheffler placed no worse than eighth in his last 15 tournaments of the season. The Associated Press has released its All-America team, featuring four Ohio State players among 10 first-team picks from the Big Ten. Caleb Downs of Ohio State and Fernando Mendoza of Indiana headline the list. Heisman Trophy winner Mendoza is the AP Player of the Year, who led Indiana to a 13-0 record and the top seed in the college football playoff. Downs is a repeat selection and the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. The team includes players from 18 schools, including Western Kentucky, Navy, and Hawaii, with seven teams from the college football playoff. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Spanish officials say its government has fined Airbnb €64 million, equivalent to $75 million, for advertising unlicensed tourist rentals. The move is the latest government action in Spain against short-term rental companies such as Airbnb and Booking.com as the country grapples with a housing affordability problem, particularly in city centres. The Consumer Rights Ministry said the rentals didn't include licence numbers, a requirement in many regions in Spain, or listed licence numbers that didn't match what authorities had. It said others had incorrect information about hosts. Airbnb said it plans to challenge the fine in court. The company said it was working with Spanish authorities to comply with a new national registration system for short-term rentals. It added that more than 70,000 listings on the platform had added a registration number since January. The European Union on Monday slapped sanctions on five businessmen linked to Russian state-owned oil companies Lukoil and Rosneft. It also targeted companies accused of circumventing sanctions on Russian oil by running ships for Moscow's shadow fleet of aging oil tankers. Oil revenue is a key part of Russia's economy, allowing President Vladimir Putin to pour money into the war effort against Ukraine without worsening inflation for everyday people and avoiding a currency collapse. Member countries, notably France, have vowed to crack down on the sanction-busting shadow fleet, which experts estimate numbers over 400 ships. Separately, the bloc imposed sanctions on members' Russian military intelligence agency GRU and a hacking group known as Cadet Blizzard, accusing them of cyber attacks targeting Ukraine, the EU, and unnamed NATO allies. The EU also added to its sanctions list a number of foreign policy analysts and influencers accused of promoting pro-Russia propaganda and conspiracy theories. Australian leaders promised Monday to immediately overhaul already tough gun control laws after a mass shooting targeted a Hanukkah celebration on Sydney's Bondi Beach. At least 15 people died in Sunday's attack, which has fueled criticism that authorities are not doing enough to combat a surge in anti-Semitic crimes. Among the new measures suggested would be a limit on the number of guns someone can own and a review of licenses held over time. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese had already proposed adjusting gun laws in an earlier press conference.
We will do whatever it is that we can if laws need to be adjusted to make changes.
This limit and other actions would represent a significant update to the landmark National Firearms Agreement, which virtually banned rapid-fire rifles after a gunman killed 35 people in Tasmania in 1996, galvanising the country into action. Workers at the Louvre Museum voted Monday to strike over working conditions and other complaints. It deals another blow to the Paris landmark and home of the Mona Lisa after an embarrassing jewellery heist in October. The union said the vote was taken at a meeting of 400 workers on Monday morning and that they decided to strike for the day. Striking workers with flags, banners and placards blocked the museum's iconic glass pyramid entrance. The world's most visited museum didn't open as scheduled and turned people away. An updated notice on the Louvre's website said it was exceptionally closed for the day and that ticket holders would be reimbursed. Labour leaders said that talks between unions and government officials had not alleviated their concerns about staffing and financing for the museum that welcomes millions of visitors each year. For employees, the brazen daylight jewel heist crystallised long-standing concerns that crowding and thin staffing are undermining security and working conditions at the museum. I'm Lawrence Brooks.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.